branch is part of a movement. Movement that started over 2,000 years ago with a movement maker. Every movement has a starter, a person that begins the movement of the branch. And so Jesus is our movement maker. And so we're not going to go to that slide yet. We'll go back to the movement slide. Okay, thanks. Jesus is this movement maker. And the branch is part of that. The mission of the movement is to make Jesus known. That's what we say around here. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and reveal who I am. Share about the good news of what I've come to do. And so around here at the branch, we say missionally, we know Jesus. We need to know him and who he is, that Jesus is the forgiver. He is the one who's the reconciler. We can't have a relationship with the God who created us aside from Jesus Christ. And so we need Jesus. We need to know him. He reveals God the best. He's the greatest revealer of God, the greatest revelation of God, because he is God. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he walked the earth just like us. He understands us. So we're to make him known. That's what Jesus said before he ascended to heaven. Go and make me known. Now, one of the times in Jesus' life where he seemed to be known the greatest, you know, that it was like a political rally. And if you've been kind of tuning in to the political rallies, I guess there's a political rally coming to this town today. It's in the news, all right? Political rallies, and you look at these things, and they're sometimes can be huge, and people get really, you know, jazzed up about the, you know, their guy or gal, in the case of the five that are left vying for presidential office. And they're just exciting in that. Well, Jesus, on Palm Sunday, that's today that's celebrated. Palm Sunday was coming over the Mount of Olives and down into Jerusalem, and there were all these people gathered, like a, if I could say it, a political rally for Jesus Christ, because he was what they desired to have as a political king. They wanted to have him ascend to power and then be able to deliver Israel from the Roman occupation of their land. They wanted to see the Messiah, Savior, King in Jesus Christ. And he had done all these miracles, and so they were saying, Hosanna, which is, you know, save us, we pray, O Lord, save us, we pray, save us, you could do that. Hosanna, Hosanna. In fact, there were some of them that were saying, saying and exclaiming such things and putting palm branches down in their cloaks and for Jesus, that the leaders of Judaism at the time, the leaders of the Jewish establishment at the time, were saying, you know, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke those guys for doing that. And Jesus said, well, if they remain silent, then the rocks will cry out. What were those leaders trying to do? They were trying to stop Jesus from being able to, you know, grow into an ascendancy onto the throne of Israel, potentially, and it would threaten the power of the establishment Jews at the time. And so they took this so far that they put out some negative advertising. You ever heard of negative advertising? Oh, yeah. They put out negative advertising in all the ranks of the Jews, and by the end of the week, you know what they were saying about Jesus? Instead of save us, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And they did. It happened. What started as a stop from the religious leaders about the movement of Jesus Christ that he had started, boom, at the end of the week, they did. They actually killed Jesus. They assassinated him. They took him out, we might say. But you know what happened after that. We celebrate it next Sunday. It's Easter, and Jesus rose from the grave. And so what I'd like us to do is, when I point to this, or when I say, shout it, would you participate with me in a kind of rally? Can I go there with you? And I want you to say, unstoppable, right? Because this movement that Jesus started, friends, is unstoppable. It's an unstoppable movement. As much as the enemies, the opponents of God, of Jesus Christ, would want to stop it in its tracks, want to snuff it out, it is... Okay, pretty good, pretty good. Let's just try it one more time. And this, it's a shout-out thing at these rallies. You know, if you go to a rally, you're going to lose your voice because of how much you're shouting, right? Because you want this person to rule, right? Or, you know, be president. Let's hope they're not totally ruling. But let's say it again. Unstoppable. That's right. God and his movement is unstoppable. Jesus proved to be unstoppable. But those religious leaders, the political establishment of that time, you'd think would have said, okay, we give in. Jesus rose from the dead. It seems to be an undeniable miracle like his other miracles. So we'll just lay over and just let it happen. Let the movement continue forward without any resistance. Did that happen? No, it didn't. In fact, it was a very short time after this that in the story of the initial 30 years of the movement, which is the movement of the church of Jesus Christ, that is his disciples that were following Jesus, that continued, we come across this story, and it's in Acts chapter 5, and the pieces of this story that we're able to take on this morning are going to be on the screen, and here's where we can move to that. Yeah, there it is, and we'll just read the story here just a little bit. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. So this was a successful movement. People came and learned about the Lord, and they started to follow him. Crowds of both men and women, the high priest, note, and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Filled with jealousy, note that. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. Stop. Stop, they said. Look what it goes on to say. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people the message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. Now I want you to shout it, unstoppable! Isn't that amazing? After they were arrested and put in jail, this angel of the Lord came and released them. And the story goes on to say, how'd that happen? And the guards didn't understand it. And they went and the jail was locked and everything was as it was supposed to be. But yet, boom, these guys were out. And you know what they were doing? They were back to teaching about Jesus. They were back to spreading the message, which they were had been called to do. Let's go on and see what it continues to say. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. Now, there's a couple verses that are missing there because what they actually had to do is go back and re-arrest these guys, the 12 of them, the close followers of Jesus. They went back out and got them and took them, put them before the high priest and the council. And these guys confronted them, and note what's said in verse 28. We gave you, and I think the emphasis, yeah, there is mine, the underline italic. It says, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Stop teaching. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. I wish I could say this is the first time these guys had been warned to stop teaching under threat, but a couple of them, John and Peter, in the previous chapter, chapter 4, were arrested, and they'd gone through to court, so to speak. And they were released, and they were told basically this in verse 17, the next slide, but to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, they threatened them. They threatened them. They wanted to stop this thing, this movement that Jesus had started. But they did let them go, and then they went on and suffered what in the story that we just were talking about. Well, friends, from that time until now, a span of a couple millennia, right? Over 2,000 years, the movement, the nature of the movement of Jesus Christ, the movement of his church, the very kingdom of God as expressed on earth, has been unstoppable. Friends, it's been unstoppable. Let me just review a little bit of that through the years and what has happened. After Jesus was raised from the dead, to stop the movement at that point, they had to circulate a false story. This is the leaders of the Jewish religion at the time. They had to circulate this false story of what probably happened, that he really did die and they stole Jesus away, or you know, that's the story they made up in order to stop the true story, stop that true story of the movement. To stop the movement, there was beyond verbal and some bodily injury and that kind of persecution, actual martyrdom that was suffered. And a couple of those were martyred, and we read about in the book of Acts, that beginning story of this incredible movement that we're part of today. It's still happening today. We're here and part of that movement, unstoppable movement. And so people through the centuries have died. They called them martyrs, and the blood of the martyrs became the seeds for the growth of the kingdom, it said in church history. To stop the movement, Christianity was made illegal. First three centuries of its existence, for the most part, Christianity was illegal and therefore to be persecuted. To stop the movement, effectively, the Bible was darkened. And we call it the Dark Ages, where the Bible was not made known as well to the common people and restricted from them. In the most recent full century, one we're closest with, and some of us have lived more of than others of us, right? Some of you older ones are, yeah, that's right. Marxism, communism, atheism, even Islam, political and religious movements have tried to stop Christianity, friends. And it's still happening today. There are stop signs that the movement has faced throughout time and will continue to face, you know, today and in the future of the movement. That's the reality that God expresses in the early record of the movement. So let's ask and answer this question this morning for ourselves. What makes the movement of the church unstoppable? What makes it unstoppable? There's some power here that people individually, the movement of God in each of our individual lives is so valuable and important. The church itself is simply the gathered disciples of Jesus, the gathered followers of Jesus. And so each one of us has the movement, we might say, of God in our lives. We have the church in us. And together, as well as individually, we have this ability to be, say it with me again, unstoppable, unstoppable. That's really what God has given us a sense of as we read through some of all of this resistance against the church. Let's look at these two forces that make the church unstoppable. There's two of them, and the first one is God's will. God's very intention is that the gospel of Christ is proclaimed. And he shared that with his disciples, that look, I want you to follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And his intention, his desire, his will is that everyone be reconciled to God. That's the will of God. That's what he's doing. That's his greatest work on the planet. Hey, that's the greatest work of God, is that this will, that people be reconciled to him, and that we have an eternity to live with him, which is, you know, something beyond us to be able to really grasp ourselves living in this time and space environment. Look at what the Bible says here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Look at that. So loved the world. Is that the intention of God? Oh, yeah. From a deep down, heartfelt intention. His very will is that we live eternally, not perish. The next verse, God desires all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. And then in 2 Peter 3 and 9, God is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. For all to come to repentance. That's what God wishes, what he desires, what his very will is. And so he told the guys to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is God's desire. In fact, it's right here in this story, isn't it? What God desires to do, he resources us to be able to do. Whatever God's will is, he'll put his full power behind. God has unlimited resources, doesn't he? And so as these guys were arrested, what did he do? He sent an angel. There's an angel of the Lord he sent in to break them out of jail. Apparently, right in the midst of those who were their captors, broke them out of jail. And does God have the resources to do that? Yeah, and he's telling us that. He has those kinds of resources. Think about some other resources that he has that are at work in our lives as we follow the Lord. These are resources that are working our lives. Jesus gave the disciples convincing proofs, it says in the Bible, that he was alive from the dead, that we can be sure. We have the evidences, the evidential value, the legal evidential kind of value that says beyond shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive. They can't find his body, by the way, still. There would be the opponents of Jesus. They would love to be able to produce the remains of Jesus. But he was raised bodily from the dead. There's some value to that. The redemption, the full redemption of God does have to do with our bodies. Next week we'll look at that piece. It's exciting. But we know, we can show that this evidence was that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is highly valuable to many people. It was valuable to me. I'm not still a touchy-feely guy. My wife likes Hallmarks, and I'm a prophet when I watch the Hallmarks because I know exactly what's going to happen. I know, so I can see, okay, those two guys are going to get together. You know, it's the same thing. Every Hallmark, I've never been false, so I've taken that as God has made me a prophet when I watch the Hallmark show. But I'm not a touchy-feely guy. I've got to have reason. I've got to have some appeal to, okay, this makes sense to me. I know a bunch of you ladies are like me too in that way, okay? It's not all ladies. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I needed that. I needed reasonable evidences in order to be convinced that I'll turn my life over and follow Jesus to my grave. That's what I needed. We've been given that. That's a resource from God, okay? Because it's his will that I be saved. It's his will that you be saved. It's his will that people out here in this community, we say a growing community of people that are uninformed, underinformed, or misinformed about Jesus Christ, and we need to make Jesus known to them, okay? And the church needs to continue to do that and beat that drum and do that mission. That's the movement that will be maintained and remain unstoppable, okay? So consider this. The Holy Spirit was given, and in the movement, that was the initial power that propels the movement is this Holy Spirit of God who's in us, you know, as followers of Jesus Christ, that gives us a power to live more successfully, more godly toward him and what he desires for our lives, for our full redemptive kind of value as human beings to come to its fruition, to come to its fruit. And that's what God has done through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. How about the very Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, that give us the revelation of God, to help us to know what's true and right and honorable and trustworthy in life. That's what we have in our hands today. The Bible becomes this huge resource of God. How about prayer? You believe in prayer? Yeah. God wants us to talk to him. You know, we have 5 children that we've raised, right? And you know what? We love it when they talk to us. There's, you know, if your kids don't talk to you, it hurts. And so we're the children of God, and he loves it when we talk to him. And don't you love to give your kids stuff? You know, if they ask you for something, don't think it's kind of nice to give them something if you have it and it's reasonable? It's, yes, here. And that's what God does with us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to have conversation. He wants us to connect. He wants that from our lives. He wants that deeply with each one of us. What a powerful thing it is. This resource, I'm calling it this, but it's our community with God, our relationship. Speaking of community, the church itself. The branch is a resource that God has designed for our benefit. And it's through the redeemed community that he is trying to reach the unredeemed community. And we do it much better together. And so we use the terminology, we're on mission together. Not on ourselves, not by ourselves. But we're doing that in concert with other people that are trying to follow the Lord best they can. Well, this thing is so powerful, unstoppable nature, that it is very God's very will and intention that these guys that were rearrested, the 12 of them, they were rearrested, and they were trying to determine what to do with them, and they were a little concerned about, you know, just kind of killing them, because a lot of the people liked who they were and everything, and so they didn't want to alienate all the people. But this one particular leader said, look, you know, guys, this stuff will probably go away. In fact, he said it this way. My advice, he said to the ruling council of the time, determining what to do with the 12 disciples, says, let them go. Leave these men alone, he said. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, get this, it will soon be overthrown. Not going to last. It'll be stoppable, in other words. But look what he says. If it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. That's how much God wants to see things done on the planet, according to his will. It's his will that people be saved. That's the first force, is God wills it so. Well, what's the second force that makes the movement of the church unstoppable? The second force is found in the response, the expression of Jesus' followers to the orders that were issued by the Jewish authorities. The orders to stop. And this is what they said. We must obey God rather than human authority. When the two are in conflict, we must obey God. And that's what they said. So the second, what we say would be the second force, is our obedience as followers. Our obedience to God becomes a force that makes us unstoppable. Get that? If these guys had not decided to obey God, where would the movement have gone? It would have been stopped. But they decided to obey. Now, that was with the threats that if they did, they already been flogged. In fact, look what that says. They just didn't give lip service to this idea of, yeah, we're gonna try to follow the Lord. They actually did. It says in verse 40 that they accepted the vice of this leader, and they called in the apostles. And before they let them go, they had them flogged. You know what that means? That they had their backs ripped open. Like Jesus was flogged by the Romans, these guys were flogged by some of the Jewish police at the time, their forces. And then they let them go after they, you know, had taught them a lesson. And then, but look what they did, verse 42. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued. Look at that. They continued. Are you kidding me? They continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. Shout it with me. Unstoppable. Because they obeyed. It's God's will that they would. And then they did. And the movement is unstoppable. And we can thank all the people who have obeyed God, you know, personally and as a church through the centuries. That today, when the stop sign comes up for us, we have this record. We have the record of people in our own lives and our minds that have not stopped obeying God. Well, we have a little card we want to hand out. Maybe I can get somebody to do that, a little card. And it'll have some words on it, have some stop signs on it. Look a little like this. And as that's being handed out to you, let me ask you a question. What stop signs are you facing in your life? Facing any stop signs? Think about it. What are some stop signs? Obviously, somebody might be against you. maybe like what we're reading about here in this story, against your faith, against who you believe in. That might be a stop sign. Somebody's trying to put up something to kind of resist or stop you. Perhaps there are some stop signs in life with regard to the connection to God that you have and your desire to follow the Lord, which he wants. That's his will, to be close to him, to honor him in instructions in life he gives us. What could those be? Could it be a relationship in your life that pulls you away from God, that's a negative impact on your faith? Perhaps it's somebody that God is telling you to forgive, and you're struggling to forgive that person because people hurt us. People can do damage and harm and bring pain into our lives. Perhaps you're dealing with a bitter attitude towards somebody because of that. A lot of times in life that I live, and priorities. Okay, I don't prioritize all the time as well as I think I should have, and so my obedience sometimes to relationship over people over papers or paperwork. I'm constantly trying to think, what are some of these things that are stopping me from moving forward closer to the alignment God would have for me? There's all kinds of things that can be a problem, something we might need to repent of that we're doing or something that we're not doing. It could be something like a lust or pornography that's captured us, or another negative kind of habit or addiction. It could be some doubt that we're not wanting to process. We just want to leave it there. Well, I'm kind of doubting about the whole God thing. Okay, that's okay. God embraces our doubt. Look, Thomas, check out my nail holes in my hands. Check out my side. God embraces our doubt. He wants us to pursue him, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's okay with that. He wants me to reason, to kind of come to the discovery that, hey, I've got the resources out there if you just check it. Keep checking it. Maybe that's an obedience thing sometimes we need. God's will and our obedience makes us unstoppable, friends. But our obedience is our responsibility in this whole thing about being unstoppable. Your life will be unstoppable if you take God's will and add your obedience to what you know of his will to do or to not do. Make sense? Pretty simple. Is it very easy? From my perspective, it's not so easy. Sometimes maybe it might be, but sometimes it's not. Here's the promise God gives us. Here's the good news about this. God knows the opposition against you and me. He knows about it. He understands it. He gets it. He's lived it. He's been down here. He knows the enemies on the planet and hovering around the planet, right? So he gets that. And here's what he says. He will help us. He's given us the resources. He's given us the resources. He's put himself within us. And he has the desire to. And the God of all power, has the desire to make sure we personally and as a congregation and as his capital C church around the world is unstoppable. He's going to deliver on it. And so our part is just to obey. And sometimes we might have to obey and we go right back out into what's resisting us, like what he did for those 12 guys. They went right back out and started teaching, and they're getting arrested again. And so let me ask again as we move into our communion time, is there anything you need to do right now or in the next few days to obey God more, to obey God more in your life? That's one thing we can take away from this morning. Jesus, we are so thankful, obeyed. When his opponents were at their height, and when all things were coming against him, and when the stop sign was actually in his face, he said, "Your will, not mine, be done." And he died for you and for me. remember that around the branch Sunday by Sunday as we go into this next song, and I'll have a prayer that'll lead into that. There will be this communion. There's at that table right there. And anytime during that song, you can just go up and take communion. Any way you'd like, you can take it back to your place. You can have it there. You can go off and during maybe a moment in the song that's especially moving to you, thank your Lord for obeying, for your sake, your personal sake, because he died for you. He died for you. After that song, we do another song right away, and that's our closing song, and it's great. But there'll be a tray passed for our connection cards. Thank you for your willingness to complete those and turn them into us. It's a huge help to us because we'd like to just be able to communicate to you a little bit more about who we are, some things that we can't do here in this short amount of time. We'd like to make sure you if you come back that you get a card that I think it's a coupon for some coffee out here somewhere. And we just want you to know that we so appreciate you checking us out one Sunday, and we would love to have you back even next Sunday, of course, at Easter, and bring a friend or two. So turning in that connection card is really helpful to us. And offering those people that are new with us that want to give every all the time, and we're grateful for that. We're so grateful for the gifts that are coming in for the branch. We're just a new startup. We do need money. But please don't feel obligated or compelled to give if you're guest with us today because you're here. Many guests do. And as you do, just understand we will use your money to advance God's kingdom and values through the branch and with good stewardship. And so if you're a guest member, before you leave after that last song, just go back to our VIP center. I'll be there. Would love to, greet you if I haven't greeted you yet today and be able to send you home with a gift or two. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to go through this worship song and take communion during that time. If you're a follower of Christ, we just invite you to be part of that. Even if you're brand new today, please take part in that. So, Lord, we do give you thanks today for what you have done. You're the only one that could die in our place and thereby take away our sin. Oh, thank you for that. And we especially want to thank you that it took an obedience on the part of Jesus our Lord to go through it all the way. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for your will that sees the desires to have us saved forever and ever. Thank you for placing that message in our hands with a consequential obedience that we have to face in following Jesus fully. Thank you for each person that's present here today. You have made this an appointment for them, God. We believe. We believe it's not by accident that we're here, hearing about the beginnings of this incredible movement that we're part of today. Still, it's still happening. Would you make it so your will is done more and more through our lives as we follow you in full obedience. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.